Numbers chapter 25, verse 1. Do want to thank you also for the people that invested in my wife. The reason I'm here tonight is a big, really part to do with my wife. She went to a good church where she got good training. And that training helped me. And so I want to thank you all. Thank you, Pastor Ross, for preaching it straight and for helping her, because that has helped me so much. I tell you what, guys, and I'll get into it here, but you need to marry someone that will be better than you. Marry up. Numbers 25, verse 1. It says, "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, Slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, in the sight of the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into his tent, into the tent, and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for tonight, dear God. I count it a privilege, Lord, to just be here, Lord, to be in a place, Lord, for 45 years has glorified you and has tried to exalt you. And Lord, has tried to reach this community for you, dear God. I thank you for the men, Lord, that led this church, Lord. I thank you for Pastor Ross. I thank you for his dad. Lord, really spiritual giants in my life, Lord, people I can look up to and see that, Lord, these are people, these are men that, Lord, I would strive to be like. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that you be with this message, Lord. May it encourage us. May it help us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you know much about the Bible, you know in Numbers that there is a king named Balak, king of the Moabites. He was a king that sent for Balaam. If you remember Balaam, he was the one that talked to his donkey, a prophet of God, to curse the children of Israel. Balak asked for Balaam to curse Israel. Balaam, however, was told by God to bless Israel. Balaam obeyed God at first and blessed Israel. And after finally blessing Israel the third time, Balak, now the king of the Moabites, is furious. Balaam does tell Balak, however, that if he really wanted Israel to have problems, he told Balak to have the Midianite women entice the men of Israel. He prostituted his nation's women to the men of Israel to commit sin. Now, how would this really help Balak? How would getting his own women to go after the men of Israel, how would that stop him? If he could get these men to follow these women, he could get their heart and get them to worship another god. If you look at verse 5, you'll see that Moses said unto the judge of Israel, Slay every one of his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. The influence of the opposite gender, what they have on you, is amazing. It's amazing, young men, young ladies. I'm a youth pastor, so I preach to youth a lot. And so young people, this message is a lot for you, and it's also for you that are younger in the ministry, you that are preachers. If I can encourage you through this message to stand up and do right when no one else is. Young men, we need, as young men, to marry the ladies that are living right. The ones that are in a good, independent, fundamental Baptist church. Too many young people have I seen through my years of ministry, and the short ministry experience I have is the men see the worldly women out there and entice. And if we're ever as a church going to move forward, we need young men that will be leaders and say, you know what, I'm going to marry the right kind of woman. Okay, I'm going to marry the right kind of woman. Women, ladies, young ladies, marry the right kind of man. Okay, don't settle for anything less but than God's best for you. Find one involved in church, not sitting on the sidelines. Find one who loves the Lord. The best decision that I had ever made was to filter my dating life through my parents. At a young age, I realized that, you know, I can do this myself, or I could have my parents guide me in this area. As Ashley, my wife, and I now, as she's my wife now, I told my parents, I said, you know, if you see anything that's wrong in our relationship, you end it. I don't care what I say, what I do, even if you don't have a reason for it. I told my parents, you have the key to this relationship. I said, my hands are off. If you just feel like, for whatever, even if it's during our engagement time, you feel like something's wrong, there's a red flag, you have complete control to stop it. And that was one of the best decisions I had ever made, because I married the right man. I believe that God blessed us for that. And in our marriage, obviously, we have two children, and I have the best wife in the world, and I thank the Lord for her. But the story picks up in verse 6. Look at verse 6. We're going to look at an individual tonight, and a couple individuals, and we'll look at their lives. Look at verse 6. It says, "And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, in the sight of the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand and went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel." There was a man whose name was Zimri. Zimri was the son of Salu, a prince of chief among the Simeonites. He was a Christian. He was an Israeli man. And he saw a young lady called Cosby. Cosby was the daughter of Zur. He was head over a people and of the chief house in Midian. Zimri saw Cosby and thought he would do something really unimaginable. Okay, do such a wicked act in front of the congregation. If you can imagine, at this time, there were 24,000 people that had perished because of Israel's sin with the Moabites. The men of Israel were marrying the worldly women and looking at them and lusting after them, and basically were drawn to them, marrying them. And God slew of them 24,000 in the plague. God said, all right, because of that, we're going to need to eliminate these marriages, these unholy unions. We need to get rid of this. Zimri takes a young lady named Cosby, takes her in front of the congregation of Israel. And I'll try to be careful because I know there's children, but in the Bible, it says that they did a wicked act. They were doing something immoral in front of the congregation in a tent. And we look at one other man in this story. We look at a man named Phinehas, the son of Eleazar. The son of Eleazar. There was two Phinehases in the Bible, if you remember. One of the Phinehases in the Bible was the son of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. Remember, God had killed them because of this Phinehas was because of his immorality. What was going on, and Eli restrained them not. But this Phinehas here in the Bible, he did something amazing. He did something that just kind of grabbed my attention the more and more I started to study it. Remember, Phinehas was the son of Eleazar. Who was Eleazar the son of? Aaron. He was the grandson of Aaron, the high priest. Remember, Aaron. Phinehas, first of all, if you're taking notes, I see the story. I see the first thing about Phinehas is that he saw what was going on. And you might think, Brother Dave, what do you mean he saw what was going away? Or he saw what was going on. What do you mean by that? Phinehas saw what was going on. What What does that matter? You know, in the world today, unfortunately, even Christians, especially Christians, this is what we do when we see something wrong. We turn away. We're like, well, we can't deal with that. And we're afraid to deal with the problem. We're afraid to say, there's little Johnny. He's doing something wrong. Ugh. Stop little Johnny from doing something wrong. He didn't look away. He didn't say, I don't know what's going on. I mean, that's between them and God. He was paying attention to what was going on. You ask four different people what they saw in a car accident, you get four different stories. He focused in on what was going on. He saw what was happening with Cosby, and he saw what was going on with Zimri and Cosby. And Phineas, if you think about it, he probably had to rub his eyes for a second. He's probably like, okay, what is going on? I mean, 24,000 people have just been killed, and we see an immoral act right in front of my eyes. I don't see anybody else doing anything else. The Bible doesn't record anything else other than Phineas seeing what's going on. You look at it, verse 7, and when Phineas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, the Bible says that mine eye affecteth mine heart. Because of what he saw, Phineas was now accountable for what was going on. He was now accountable for what was going on. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You know what happens when we wax cold? We start seeing things, but it doesn't affect us anymore. We start seeing something going on, but you know what? We're just letting it go on. We're letting it go on. Why won't you tell people of Jesus or tell your neighbor? Because iniquity abounds. Iniquity abounds. Because that's what I've always done. I haven't really talked to anybody about him because that's what I've always done. I've always went through the McDonald's drive-thru and never thought about handing them a tract. So why would I do that now? You're accountable to what you see. I deal with teenagers a lot, and one of the things that it's something that eats at me, and I wish I could be there for them, but they all are given cell phones like it's candy nowadays. And on there all the time, we see them on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, all these texting, and I have to deal with this on a continual basis about things that shouldn't have been said, but that got said, and it leads to all kinds of junk. They say the average 18-year-old on up spends an hour and 45 minutes on Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Those four things. An hour and 45 minutes. A day. And you see things that you thought you'd never see, and they scroll down these Instagram posts, and there are some wicked things that they're scrolling through, and it's coming into them faster than you can blink. And you're accountable for it. You're accountable for it, for what you see, young people, adults. You're accountable for it. Go to Psalm 101, verse 3. Psalm 101, verse 3. I call this the Facebook chapter of the Bible. The Facebook chapter of the Bible. Look at verse 3, Psalm 101, verse 3. Says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. But you know what's amazing about verse 3? We like to quote verse 3, but look what it says afterward. It talks about before mine eyes. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes, but I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Whew. Man, are there some people on your Facebook you need to cut off because of that chapter? Maybe you need to get rid of Facebook altogether. had a friend that when it, before that was that was when we were first married. Was that 2011, 2010? There was a post on there talking about a pastor, and I knew this man that posted this thing, and he said, "You know, I don't understand all these pastors. You know, why they why they don't have updated websites? Why? They're back in the 90s, you know, 80s, and they're not having these updated websites." So I thought, okay, here we go. Caps lock on. Here we go. So I said, "You work on websites. I know that you work on websites. Why don't you, since you're going to that church, make a website for the church? Send." It was amazing. There were no replies after that. Nobody wanted to comment. But there's got to be some people that don't turn away and say, "You know what? I'm just not going to say something." Say something. There's got to be men in this building tonight that has to say something when something wicked is being said. When something wicked is going on, you've got to not look away. You've got to look. You've got to see it. Psalm 101, verse 3, on down to verse number 7, is the Facebook chapter of the Bible. Phinehas was at the right place and with the right people, and was weeping on because of the consequences of sin. We saw what was going on. The people were weeping, but evil was about to take place. So number one, Phinehas saw what was going on. Number two, Phinehas reacted to what he saw. I was at Walmart here recently in Louisiana, and I think it was around Valentine's Day. I saw this shelf here that was full of all these teddy bears, and I saw this little kid, probably 8-9 years old, just came by. Just knocked them all down on the ground. So I'm like, look for his mom and dad. Didn't see him. I'm like, okay, here we go. "Hey, put those back on the shelf." "Whoa, who was that?" I said, "Put those back on the shelf." He's like looking at me like, "Who are you?" I said, "Put those on the shelf. I saw you do that. Shame on you." He's like, "Whoa, my goodness, who is this guy?" I saw it. Okay, I was accountable to it. Now, you could have picked it up yourself, but that kid, you know, he needed the fear of God. Or he needed something in his life to wake him up that, you know what? He needs to be told. He needs to be told. There's got to be someone that says, "Hey, that's wrong." He rose up from the congregation. Verse 7. He didn't just see it. Look what he did. He rose up from the congregation. He was the only one who stood up. He didn't say, "Oh my goodness, this is terrible. I'm going to record it and put it on YouTube. Wow, I can't believe it." I saw a video clip, and I still remember it to this day because it haunts me, and it's always will. In New York City, I saw a video of these Islamic terrorists. Maybe you've seen it, or Islamics. I don't know. They're burning the American flag in New York City. New York City. Down on the ground, just right there in the street. And it hurt because it's like, that's my country. Okay, that's me. What are you doing burning that in my country? And it made me mad. I wanted to jump through that, and I wanted to... But what's amazing to me wasn't even that. That's what's amazing to me is that they weren't just burning the American flag, but it was the people that were walking by doing nothing about it. And I think that, to me, kind of woke me up to, we're really not doing a good job in this area. When you see something, you rise up from the congregation. Edmund Burke said, "The only thing necessary for triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." We in this generation are lacking the burning desire of young man's heart to fight against that which is against righteousness. When someone says a dirty joke, rise up from the congregation. When someone speaks to damage someone, arise from the congregation. When someone tries to show you something wrong, arise from the congregation. Okay? You've got to arise. You've got to stand up and say, hey, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's not right. There's something wrong with that. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Young people, don't hide another person's sin. Don't hide another person's sin. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy, the Bible says. Phinehas saw what was going on. Phinehas reacted to what he saw. And Phinehas was zealous about his God. I'm not saying here, young people, if you see something wrong, grab a javelin and kill some people. Okay, I'm not condoning that right now. But the Bible says, look at verse. Let's go back to Numbers. Go back to Numbers. Look at verse 10. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wow. He was zealous for my sake. Zealous. A great energy and enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause or an object. If you talk to the average teen guy today, you know what they're zealous about? A truck. I can't wait until I get a truck with four wheels. Four-wheel drive. Every young guy I talk to, I can't wait till I get a truck. Would to God that we had guys that were zealous about getting a hold of God and not a truck. We're zealous about stuff, and I've been guilty in this, okay? I'm zealous about things that I know that, you know, I got to be careful. Kind of like Brother Chad said in Sunday school, I'm zealous about Mountain Dew. I mean, I am. I love Mountain Dew. It's great stuff. I actually have a refrigerator in my office. Mountain Dew, right there, ready to go, okay? Baja Blast. Where's Brother Chad? He's down there in the back. I'm zealous about that, but you know, we're not zealous about the things of God anymore. We've lost that fire. We've lost that passion. We've lost it. Where is that zeal of those young men? Where is the zeal in the young men right now in today's youth groups? Our young men have to go to Walmart and go buy themselves a personality because they don't have one. And the young ladies are waiting for the young men to take lead. You take the lead, young men, and they will follow. Don't let them follow, and you follow them. Or don't let them take the lead, and you follow them. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. I've seen that. I've seen that in our youth group. We have girls that are sold out for God, but the young men are nowhere to be found. It's amazing. It's amazing. He was zealous, number one, about keeping his own eyes clean. Remember, what was going on was something wicked. And he was zealous about keeping his own eyes clean. It's amazing what Christians will watch on TV. It's amazing what Christians will watch on YouTube. It's amazing what Christians will rent from the Red Box. He was not only zealous about keeping his own eyes clean, he was zealous about protecting what others are seeing and going through. This was a time of mourning and sadness. And Phinehas chased this man down. He said, nope, you ain't getting away, buddy. You're dead meat. Okay? You're gone. You're dead. Literally. He died. Okay? When someone's making a mock of God, it has to be dealt with. Okay? It has to be dealt with. Don't let sin go. See, too many parents have the wool pulled over their eyes about their own children. And everyone's afraid to tell them that Johnny's been naughty. Ooh, got quiet there. I told the church on Wednesday night, I was preaching because our pastor was gone. I said, I want you to tell me when my child is acting out because I can't deal. I don't know what's going on unless you tell me. And I need help in that area. I can't be always with him, and he needs encouragement from other people. Okay, when I was a young man, not everybody in the church was like, oh man, you're such a wonderful young person. No, I got my face ripped off a couple times, okay? And I needed that. I needed that. I needed that. I'm not hearing enough amens. I needed that. Okay? Some of you are like, oh, man, I mean, you're like 12 years old and this guy, he ripped your face off. Yeah, I needed that. I did. I needed to be told what's right and what's wrong. There are some conversations with some pastors that had me sit in their office and said, okay, sit down, pull up a chair. And I'm like, whew, it's good. He's going to give me a raise or something, you know? It's going to be awesome. Rip my face off. I'm like, that did not go how I envisioned that. Wow, okay. I needed that. I needed that. Mommy? Get away from daddy sometimes when he's got to deal with Johnny. Okay, daddy, tell mommy to get away. Say, go. Go clean something. Go buy something from the store. We're going to have a little come to Jesus session. Okay, I've had to do that where Titus has been not so great of a Christian. Well, because he's not a Christian, he's a little sinner, needs to get saved. Pray for him about that. But you've got to deal with it. You have to deal with it when you see something wrong. You have to deal with it. And I hate that. Don't you hate it? You're just like, man, I don't want to deal with this because it's like, man, you deal with that person. You take care of that person. No, the Lord had you in that spot for a reason. Okay? He had you in there for a reason. I remember when I had an app on my phone. It was one of the spinner things were really popular. I don't know if has that hit up here north yet? I don't know. You guys know what a spinner is, one of those little fidget spinners. You guys know what I'm talking about? All right, fidget spinners. A parent's worst nightmare, you know, youth pastor's worst nightmare. I hate those things. But I got one of those for my phone. It has an app, I mean, on your phone, where you literally can flick the screen, and it just spins around. I was cheap, okay? Come on, I mean, come on. Hey, this little spinner app, you know, on my phone. And my son, you know, Titus, he's playing with it, you know. He's 3 at the time. And I couldn't believe it, but an image popped up, and I was like, whoa, what is that? That was an ad. Parents, you need to be careful what you're allowing your children to put on their phones. I just deleted the app. I'm like, nope, we're not doing that. And I think Walmart, a couple months ago, we were in there, and yeah, they play music on there, obviously, you know, and sometimes as adults, we kind of learn to, you know, tune out the music of the world. And Titus is walking through there, and, you know, and he says, Daddy, Daddy. I'm like, what? He says, that's bad music. I'm like, that's right, son, that's right. There's an adult, you know, right there, and they're looking at like, what's wrong with that kid, you know? I'm like, that's right. Teach your kids to say, hey, that's bad stuff at an early age. My mom told me when we were younger, smoking's bad. Don't smoke. So I'm like, okay, I think I got that down. Smoking bad. Okay, smoking bad. Got it. All right. So when I saw someone smoke, you know, what do I say? Smoking bad. The guy that was smoking is like, that's right, son. Don't ever do that. I'm like, what? Eventually, I had to realize that I had to delete my Facebook account. This isn't a message just to get rid of your Facebook. What I'm saying is you're accountable for what you see. And where is the young man who will be zealous for his God? Where is the young man, young lady, that will stand up for what's right? We need more Phineases. We need them. We need more Jeremiahs, as Brother Studer preached. We need men that will rewrite the role. We need men who will do what's right, no matter what the cost is. During his years as the premier of the Soviet Union, Khrushchev denounced many of the policies and atrocities of Joseph Stalin. Once, as he censored Stalin in a public meeting, Khrushchev was interrupted by a shout from the heckler in the audience. You were one of Stalin's colleagues. Why didn't you stop him? Who said that? Roared Khrushchev. An agonizing silence followed as nobody in the room dared move a muscle. Then Khrushchev replied quietly, now you know why. The world is trying to silence us Christians. They're trying to say, you know what? You just need to love everybody. Okay? You just need to have your best life now. Okay? You just need to be nice to them. You're just too harsh. You're just too mean. You know, there's a right way to speak to someone. Okay? There's a right way to do that. But the world is trying to silence our young people. And young people, you have to realize that the world isn't going to get any better. Okay, and it's better to make a decision now to say, you know what? I'm going to fight against wrong. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just going to make that decision tonight. Proverbs 27, verse 1. I want you to turn to this last verse and I'll be done. I know I've taken a long time and I want to just finish off by just everybody seeing this last verse. Sorry, hang on a second. I think I got the wrong passage there. Let me make sure I got it here. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. You know, Christians, Phineas's Bible is etched in the scriptures. Phineas's name, now you know who Phineas is. Will you be a Phineas? Will you stand up when something is wrong? Young men, when you see something wrong, will you say, that's wrong? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to turn away and look away. I'm going to deal with this problem because you know what? I've seen it. I'm accountable for it. And I'm going to rise up from the congregation and be zealous for my God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. The Word of God. Lord, we thank you that the Bible says that the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be bold and zealous for our God. We love you. We thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.